The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Shane. Last evening, the European Union and the United States reached a trade agreement at Donald Trump's golf course in Scotland. The agreement will see the tariff rate set at 15% for almost all goods leaving the EU for the US and averts the 30% that was threatened by Donald Trump from this coming Friday. But reaction across Europe has varied from welcomes at political level to slightly cooler at business level. In a moment, we'll get the latest from Brussels with Suzanne Lynch. But first, here is how Donald Trump and Ursula von der Leyen announced the agreement.
I think we both wanted to make a deal. You said something that is very important. It's going to bring us closer together. I think this deal will bring us very close together, actually. Sort of, it's a partnership in a sense, but it's a very good point, and it's something that's very important. I think this didn't just start today. We had a meeting. I wasn't sure. I said 50-50. I think you probably felt the same thing. But this started months ago, this negotiation. So we knew pretty much what we were getting into, and we were able to make a deal that's very satisfactory to both sides. So it's a very powerful deal. It's a very big deal. It's the biggest of all the deals. It will be the biggest of all the deals. So we're very honored to have done so. And your staff has been fantastic, and they worked together long and hard.
They worked hard and long, and many thanks to the teams on both sides. There was, as I said at the beginning, a heavy lifting you had to do. But many thanks also for the talks we had many times on the way to our goal. And now we made it. And that's good.
But is that the view reflected across Europe, that that's good? Joining me now, Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning.
The words that I'm hearing about this described in this part of the world, Europe caved, Europe capitulated, Europe, Ursula von der Leyen bottled it. What say you?
Well, listen, it's a glass half empty, glass half full situation. I was there in Scotland yesterday for this in the press conference and watching the Trump von der Leyen interaction. And I mean, it was clear that Ursula von der Leyen was quite uncomfortable, I would say. She said very little. That was probably a strategy. But you could tell that the EU side was almost holding its nose as it agreed to this deal. The way they see it is that they got a 15% tariff, which is a lot less than the 30% tariff that Donald Trump had been threatening. On the other hand, there is an argument that the EU may or should have perhaps been a bit more forceful earlier on in this process, that, as we know, it is a major trading bloc. It had been preparing countermeasures against the US in the event of a no deal, and that perhaps it should have used that card earlier in the process and got a better deal, but they had left it too late. So, look, I mean, the issue is you're now hearing whispers here in Brussels, different countries complaining. The reality is that the Commission did consult with member states as we speak now. They're briefing ambassadors on this. They did from Scotland yesterday before they went into the meeting with Trump. So, you know, one would presume that they were getting the okay from these countries about how to proceed on this. I think most interestingly, it's been France this morning. We've had a number of ministers come out criticizing the deal. Now, that could be to do with domestic politics because Marine Le Pen came out with a very strong statement last night criticizing it. So let's see if the French criticism continues, or is it just a kind of shot across the bow and they will live with this deal?
Yeah, France's European Affairs Minister Benjamin Haddad criticised what he described as an unbalanced trade deal. It's unbalanced. Let's be clear, the current state of affairs is not satisfactory and cannot be sustainable. So this deal has a long way to go. It's got to be ratified in the European Parliament, isn't that so?
Yeah, and I mean, one of the issues really is that there is no text, there's no document from this discussion yesterday. You know, all we know from this deal is what both principals said during the press conference and what we're hearing from officials. So senior US administration officials were briefing the media last night. We've also heard a lot of messaging from Brussels, both in Scotland and this morning here in Brussels. And we're trying to glean what's in the deal. Now, we do expect some kind of text or document to be shared with EU member states in the next few days. By the end of the week, we're being told. So that will contain details, but we don't know how detailed that detail will be, if you like. And we don't expect anything substantial, but there will be some kind of document, and that may shed a light on what exactly was agreed.
And the question of pharma, the question of chips, all of those questions, according to, I think, a note sent by the Tánaiste, 15% is the max that's going to apply to any of those sectors. But that's not clear from anything that was said yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, Donald Trump completely contradicted that. He said that pharma wasn't included. Then Ursula von der Leyen came out and said it was. What we now believe is that the 15% tariff that was agreed does include pharma. And what seems to have effectively happened is that the EU negotiators, including von der Leyen, got assurances from Donald Trump that it would stay at 15%, regardless of these investigations that are going on into pharma, knowing this Section 232 investigation. So they seem to think they got that assurance, but we don't have anything written down on that.
And what about aluminium and steel?
That's not resolved at all. The issue there is that, I mean, Keir Starmer is now meeting Donald Trump today in Scotland himself because the British have not got the deal they were expecting on steel. So what the EU side said after the meeting was that hasn't really been agreed because it's going to be part of a broader global issue for America to sort out. They talked about how the US and the EU shared concerns about steel overcapacity by China, but that has not been resolved yet. But, you know, we're hearing it's not because there are already tariffs on a lot of steel and aluminium. It's maybe not as crucial as other sectors like pharma and cars would be for the EU.
But still, I mean, 50%, if that were to remain, that is penal. But the question of how the EU negotiated compared with China, compared with Canada, compared with Mexico, all who took a tough line with Trump, presuming he would back down in some way. Now, the deal has not been confirmed with China and there's still a way to go with Mexico and Canada. But they talk tough. And Ursula von der Leyen appeared to capitulate. I mean, Viktor Orban, no friend of Trump's, perhaps, but a friend of Putin's, that's for sure. So maybe the friend of my friend is my friend. He said that Trump had eaten Ursula von der Leyen for breakfast.
Yeah, he came out with a very strong statement this morning. Now, in one sense, that's not surprising because Viktor Orban, you know, criticizes the EU and von der Leyen constantly. So anything, you know, anything that they do, he criticizes. So, yes, he's obviously saying he's not happy with the deal, although a lot of those East European countries who are are part of the US, of the EU car industry, are actually the car producing nations are quite happy with this, that they've got 15% for autos. But yes, so this is the issue for the EU. I mean, the Commission was negotiating just as they did in Brexit on trade, but they were getting the sign off or the political direction from the EU member states. Now, as we've discussed before, there were a lot of, you know, there was a big broad spectrum there with France from the get-go saying that the EU needed to be tougher. Germany favoring a quick deal, but then Germany kind of changed in the last week or so. And I think Merz getting behind this deal was crucial. I mean, it's very fair to say that Ireland was one of the loudest voices calling for no retaliation against the US. And it was getting increasingly isolated, I think it's fair to say on that. More and more countries were saying that the EU needed to hit back over the last few weeks on that one. Now, obviously, they didn't. They did say in the last week or two that they had, got 100 billion worth of countermeasures that they could invoke after August 1st, and that they were looking at this anti-coercion instrument that would hit services. So maybe that threat forced Donald Trump, one could argue, to negotiate with von der Leyen. I mean, it's worth saying nobody expected this to happen at the weekend, that we'd have a situation that Ursula von der Leyen would fly to Scotland to meet Donald Trump. That was a huge surprise when news of this leaked out on Friday. So, you know, once we heard this was happening, it was obvious that a deal was in the offing, and the actual meeting between the two, which was obviously attended by other officials, was relatively short, about an hour or so.
Now, obviously, Trump would do anything to try to deflect from the ongoing Epstein business in the United States. I mean, he's been characterized as fleeing the country to get out of the way of the burgeoning crisis for him over Epstein. A deal with Europe, it might be a big news on this side of the pond. For MAGA, I'm not sure they care one way or the other. So the Epstein thing will still probably face him when he returns home. But one of the worries about Europe is that In terms of what they have not been doing on Israel, you know, the criticism has been quite muted until Macron decided that he would recognize a Palestinian state. So it would appear that Europe is an appeaser. It appeases the bully that is Donald Trump on trade, and it appeases Israel on Gaza.
Well, on Israel-Gaza, it's absolutely clear that the EU is not taking a stance on Israel-Gaza. You're right on that. I mean, there is no... It is not really part of the conversation, to be quite honest, here in Brussels. You know, it's not top of the agenda for a lot of EU countries. And I think it was interesting yesterday that Donald Trump was speaking quite a lot about the situation in Gaza during his press conference with von der Leyen, and she was silent for a lot of that. So I just don't think there is the political will to confront Israel or to really think about stopping this trade agreement, this association agreement that the EU has with Israel, because a number of countries are going to block that, including Germany, Austria and the Czech Republic. Now, that may change in the next few weeks, but really now Brussels is kind of shutting down for the summer. The next meeting of foreign ministers is not scheduled until the end of August. So let's see if any development happens before then. But at the moment, there doesn't seem to be any sign of a political will by the EU as a whole to do anything major on the Israel-Gaza situation.
Now, do you believe that Ukraine had anything to do with the character of this deal that was finally reached, that Ursula von der Leyen had to keep Trump on side in terms of aid and munitions, even if they're sold to Ukraine via NATO partners, that this was a desperate effort to keep Trump on side with Ukraine, so give him what he wants on trade?
I think that's definitely a dynamic that's at work here. I think you're right on that. At the end of the day, Donald Trump doesn't see the trade relationship as different than, you know, the defence relationship or foreign policy. So the reality is that the EU and a lot of these countries in the EU that feel strongly, particularly strongly about Ukraine, those countries in the East, you know, want and need US help for Ukraine. And they knew that Donald Trump was, you know, had a strong card to play here, that they're depending on US aid, because if the US moves away from Ukraine, Europe will be left footing the bill, and it doesn't have the capacity, or both in terms of actual weaponry or equipment, as well as finance, to do that, to fill that gap. So yes, I think the two things were linked, and the EU was on the back foot, and it didn't want to antagonize Trump for fear that that would impact the US position vis-a-vis Ukraine.
Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief for Bloomberg, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.